Good morning, Cowboys Nation. Welcome to a special episode of the Writer's Block podcast coming to you on a Tuesday morning, and a special Tuesday because it's Christmas Eve. We're getting ready for the holidays. I'm your host, David Howman, joined by the man himself, Brandon Clements. We're here breaking down a really exciting, really gritty win from the Cowboys, beating the Buccaneers. For those who are watching on YouTube, you see my background is not my normal, you know, Dallas Cowboys flag background. We're rocking the hotel chic, and this is not one of those, you know, fake hotel virtual background things. I went back home to my old stomping grounds in Phoenix, Arizona, right down the street from soon to be national champion Arizona State Sun Devils.
Oh, here we go.
we're back here in Arizona for the holidays and seeing family and friends and everything, and having a good time and enjoying watching the Cowboys go out and win, even though it ultimately means absolutely nothing. But hey, winning is never not going to be fun, at least for me. I know there's a section of the fan base that was like, well, this only hurts our draft stock, so like now I'm upset. But either way, I mean, we get to talk about a win. We get to talk about our Cowboys Christmas wish list for this year. We'll be, you know, writing these letters to Santa and seeing if he links up with Jerry Jones to give us what we want and all things Cowboys. But Brandon, how are you doing? You're in the same place that you always are, down in your little command center man cave. So you clearly did not travel for the holidays, but what you got going on?
Yeah, no, I'm still in the beautiful Antarctic type weather here in central New York. We were in single digits today. I'm dressed up really accordingly. Got the hoodie on. It's a very cold day here in Syracuse. It's a little bit of snow, which I know I'm happy about. My wife's happy about. Everybody's happy about it because, you don't get that with 71 degrees and whatnot in Phoenix, Arizona. But we're gonna have a white Christmas here in New York, which is a beautiful thing. This is gonna actually probably be my last Christmas without traveling, because my mom's retired, my dad's close to retirement, and they're moving to Florida in the next year or so. So within the next year or so. So by this time next year, I probably will be in 70 plus degree weather, just like you, just in the southeast quadrant of the country. So yeah
take for your now, talents to South Beach.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, it's a good time down there. We do have family and friends in that part of that neck of the woods, but like my main family's up here still. So obviously I don't have to travel anywhere at this stage of the game, but I'm going to enjoy Christmas very, very much so this year specifically, because I don't want to, I'm not going to have to fly anywhere this year. So I'm kind of looking forward to just hanging with the family. Christmas Eve is going to be, as this drops, it'll be a little Christmas gift for all of our fans out there and listeners. It's going to be busy. I got too much stuff to go going on. So, yeah, I'm just so excited with how the Cowboys played. I normally don't stay up as late as I did. It was like, I don't know, what was it, midnight Eastern time when the game was just 11:30, midnight. That's way past my bedtime. As you know, I'm an early bird. I'm up early. So it was well worth it. To be fair, I didn't have to work. I'm off right now. Yeah. So it's kind of nice. But I'm still up early with the kids. But I had a hard time sleeping last night because I was so juiced up from Sunday Night Football. So I can't wait to get into it. It's a bittersweet thing and to some fans and myself, but I'll take a win just like you'll take a win.
Exactly. I do not, especially after the way this year has gone, I do not take a win for granted. And this was a fun win, and we'll get into it, but I'm glad to hear you're having a good time, even though you are, up to your neck in snow, it seems like. I don't know what that's like being out here in Arizona. I'll tell you, every year since I moved out of Arizona, I've come back for Christmas. And honestly, like, I kind of love it, because you come back and it's like you're like the prodigal son coming back home. The family's all excited. And like, my mom listens to the show. So hi, Mom. Thank you for all the meals you're paying for this week.
Mom's rock, baby. That's it. Yeah, shout out to Mama Hallman.
I get in and they're like, okay, where you want to go for breakfast? Where you want to go for lunch? Where you want to go for dinner? like, oh, do you want dessert too? Do you want to order something extra so you can take the leftovers back to your hotel if you want a midnight snack? And I'm just like, yeah, sure. Like,
I mean, you're not going to pass that up. I don't think anybody passes that up.
Yeah, it's it's crazy because when I left Phoenix, part of the reason was the cost of living had gone up so much. And now I come back and I'm like, it's cheap. Like, I don't pay for anything. I come back and I'm eating like a king here. So I'm doing great. I was enjoying a really, really nice meal while watching that game. And of course, the game in question, the Cowboys beating the Buccaneers 26-24. And earlier in the game, or earlier in the day, we saw the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels, the pride of Arizona State. We know how to make them there. And he led the Commanders to a last second win over the Eagles. He threw a go ahead touchdown with 6 seconds left, which then led to the Cowboys officially being eliminated before they even played the game. So, you know, the Cowboys players, I don't even think that they were at the stadium yet, most of them. And so they, you know, they all are finding out like, oh yeah, our season's officially done. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not competing for the playoffs now. And I was kind of – when that happened, I was thinking in my head, like, I don't know what we're going to see from this team because the Buccaneers have something to play for.
Yeah.
If they had won this game, they have a one-game lead in the NFC South. The Falcons won earlier in the day, so the pressure was on. They needed to because now they're in they have the same record, but Falcons swept them. So they, you know, if the season ended today, the Buccaneers would be second place in the division, would be out of the playoffs if the season ended today. So Buccaneers had a whole lot to play for. Cowboys officially had nothing to play for. You wouldn't know it from how they came out and played. I mean, first drive, they move down the field, they get a field goal. Defense comes out, and on third down and on fourth down, Baker throws an errant pass because of the pressure that Mike Zimmer's scheming up. And they go for it on fourth down. And by the way, Todd Bowles, the head coach, he's not an aggressive head coach. He doesn't go for it that often. So for him to go and then not get it, like that's pretty significant for that team. And then they move down the field. Cooper Rush finds Jalen Tolbert in the back of the end zone, toe tap. Again, I mean, he's done that a few times this year with some really impressive touchdown catches.
Good number 3-4 receiver, you know.
Exactly. He's your wide receiver 3 next year.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what, like he's someone you got to have on the field. He's not someone that you're going to say he's number 2 behind CeeDee Lamb necessarily, but he's been balling out and he's reliable. And just like that, he got him out to a 10-0 start. And then the Cowboys pretty much controlled the game for the rest of the first three quarters.
Yeah.
Halfway through the fourth, we get, you know, Jordan Lewis and that crazy interception in the end zone. Then the Buccaneers come back and get a touchdown, bust a coverage wide open in the end zone. Baker Mayfield's doing his thing. They get the ball back with like a minute 50 and they're down 2. And I was like, man, they're going to do this. Like they're going to move down the field. Baker was getting hot. They're going to, like, they only need to get like 40, 50 yards to be in field goal range. Very first play. And it is like the most chaotic thing, the way this game ended. Have you ever seen anything like that? Baker gets swarmed. He has like 3 guys trying to bring him down. He powers out of it, tosses the ball to Rashad White, also an Arizona State alum.
Yeah, they know how to make this, that's for sure. They don't know how to hold on a ball in Arizona State, apparently. I don't know what's going on.
Didn't have his best moment, but he gets the ball. He makes some guys miss. He's moving around. But he's holding that ball like way out from his body. I was watching him run, and I'm like, they're going to strip it from him. Deron Bland does exactly that. Strips it, recovers it as he's pulling the ball out. Like, game. Like, Cooper had to go out and take a knee 3 times, but that was the game right there.
Yeah.
I mean, what a chaotic way to end that game, to get that win, and really just, like, summed up the effort from this team of, like, they're just going out there playing for the love of the game. And all these players said that after, like, this is football. This is what we do. Like, we don't quit. And, like, right up to the very end, they were fighting. They were pushing for it. It was a scrappy win. Have you ever seen a game like this for the Cowboys where they just like have nothing to gain aside from just winning for the sake of winning and then go out there and do that?
Yeah, this is the most unique game I've ever watched as a Cowboys fan. Like you mentioned earlier, the Jordan Lewis situation, like even the commentators were like, whoa, he picked that off. Like, like we had two moments like that where, you know, Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth are like, Jordan Lewis picked that off, and then you see the replay. It's like, whoa, yeah, like he got shoved in the face mask, somehow readjusts, gets his mitts on the, you know, on the ball and rips it. And then, you know, a couple drives later, you have, you know, Baker Mayfield, he's in the grasp of Jordan Lewis. I honestly thought they were going to blow the whistle because he was in there long enough. They could have, but it looked like they saw enough from Baker. We're like, all right, he's moving just an inch or two, and, you know, they're going to let him keep going. He gets the ball to Rashad White, and I'm like, oh, here we go. Baker Mayfield just make a great play. And then next thing you know, I see De'Ron Bland, you know, come out of it with the ball, and I'm like, what? And the commentators are, you know, Tirico and, you know, the great Mike Tirico out of Syracuse University, of course. You know, him and Chris Collinsworth were like, you know, like it was like so confusing. And then like you see it and then you see the replay, like, oh man. And it's like, oh, this is, and I'm like, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, I could not sleep last night. Like, you know, after, you know, I could not sleep after the game. It was just one of those things where I'm like, I'm so juiced up. I probably upset my wife because I woke her up because I told her how the game went. Because she's a, you know, she's big. She, you know, we're all Cowboys fans in my house, in our house. I don't want to say my because I'll get in deep trouble for that one. So in our house, my daughter who's five, you know, the most recent primetime game, not this one, but another one recently, because, you know, the Cowboys are on primetime all the time. But, you know, it's just the natural thing. She's got her little Kindle tablet thing. And, you know, I'm doing something. My wife's doing something. And you know, I she's like, Dad, I'm going to watch the game because it was just about to start. And I'm like, okay, sure. You're going to probably play a game or something. And a few minutes later, I got up and I see her and she's in her room watching the Cowboys game. I'm like, you're raising them right, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, my wife, when I told her, she was like, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah. So you know, obviously she's like, I'm going to go back to bed. So we got up super early this morning. Shout out to Chris Berman and Booger McFarland for NFL Primetime on ESPN Plus. So I had her watch the highlights of the game, and she's like, you weren't kidding. That was a crazy game. And I got to, you know, and we were just talking about Baker. Shout out to Baker Mayfield. Like, you know, there was a couple sequences where, like Maris Leofile punches a ball out, like, who's on the ball? Baker Mayfield. Like, Baker Mayfield is a dog. He's like the smallest dude on the field besides Turpin, which, you know, we could talk about that too. But Baker Mayfield, kudos to him. Like, he's a tough dude. He's like a smaller modern day version of Brett Favre. You know, he's just a gunslinger. He just takes chances, you know, and it's funny because he was a Packers fan growing up, as they noted on the broadcast this past week. So I'm like, dude, you're from Texas. You're supposed to be a Cowboys fan. Like, what are we doing here? Says the New York guy who's a Cowboys fan, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I mean, Maris Leafell, he played a hell of a game. I mean, Micah looked gassed. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, he didn't look like himself. Like, it wasn't a traditional Micah Parsons game. He did okay.
I mean, there were plays where, I mean, you see the replay and he's like, the tackle has him like in a chokehold the whole time. And
yeah, he was gonna fall over.
Yeah, there were times where they had like three guys all sliding over to him, and I mean, it freed up other guys to get pressure and everything. And that's what Micah Parsons does for you. But also, you know, when a team does that and they're sending three offensive linemen after you, you're gonna get gassed. But I mean, he kept at it. Credit to him, he kept at it.
I mean he came into the game with an illness, so, you know, shout out to Micah, you know, battling through like he does. And I mean, like you said, it opened up the floodgates for other guys. I mean, Osa was getting in the backfield. Let's see. I mean, Carl Lawson was getting in the backfield, like
Chauncey Golston.
Chauncey, you know, I'll say this: that Carl Lawson, you know, that he pancaked Tristan Wirfs. I was like, hey, yeah. I was like, man, that's, you don't see that every day. So shout out to Carl Lawson. I mean, that whole defensive line was good.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think one of our other big defensive tackles got a sack. I think Linval. Didn't Linval get a sack?
He did because he fell down. From going down with the tackle, Baker tries to hop over him as he's trying to scramble out, and Linval just like reaches up and like trips him up. And I mean, that's a vet move right there. That's why you bring in a guy like Linval Joseph. Not going to get a whole lot of sacks doing it that way, but he got the job done. Speaking of, shout out to him. he got a sack in this game. Became I forget where exactly he ranks on the leaderboard, but one of the fastest players to reach 50 career sacks, faster than Lawrence Taylor, faster than J.J. Watt. Mm-hmm. Really incredible moment for him. The sack also came by way of a strip sack where Baker ran away from like four different guys before Micah got to him, knocks the ball out.
Yep.
Nick Vigil falls on it, but on the replay, like it's kind of moving around still. He rolls out of bounds before he actually recovers it. It's set up the first I've ever seen, and probably the last time I'll ever see, a third and 40.
Yeah.
Third and 40. And that was a big moment because the play before that, it was second and 19. It was at the Dallas 35. Buccaneers probably are not going to convert second and 19, right? But you probably get a small pickup on second down, small pickup on third down, settle for the field goal. That sack, I mean, third and 40, they ended up punting the ball. Yeah. A play later. And that was huge because that's three less points. And this is a game that was decided by two. So he gets his 50th sack. He gets into the record books ahead of some really great names. And it was, you know, a really, really impactful sack from Micah Parsons. So good on you.
You mentioned huge. Man, speaking of huge, Vita Vea, you know, 350-pound Vita Vea, I think he could pretty much eat Kevontae Turpin in one bite. Like, it was like, he could have just
tried.
Pretty much. I mean, he's literally double his size. And I'm like, and I'll be honest with you, it was funny because I'm like, oh my God, I saw Vea and Turpin. I'm like, oh God, he's gonna crush this poor guy. And it was actually pretty gentle for a guy who's 350 pounds. Jake Ferguson
threw him to the ground. And I was like, that's the nicest thing Vita Vea could have done there.
Yeah, but you know what? He paid it forward later a little bit to Jake Ferguson. So he came out. Yeah, Jake Ferguson got walloped on a third down where he thought he was going to get it. And then 350-pound Vita Vea comes in and just blasts him.
And that was the Cowboys' last real offensive drive, not counting the one where they took three knees.
Yeah.
And if Jake Ferguson gets that first down, the game's over there. Because Tampa Bay had just used – or they had one timeout at that point. They used it after Ferguson went down. And like 9 out of 10 times, that's a first down for Fergie. Because he broke a tackle before Vea got to him. He's got that downhill runner style where he's gonna plunge forward and get that first down. And I thought it was actually a really good call from Mike McCarthy. I was worried about throwing it there. In case it's incomplete, you know, they have an extra timeout. But it was a good call. They got the ball right into Ferguson's hands, have a couple blockers out there. Vita Vea just did, you know, the things that make Vita Vea so special in this game. And there's two other special players for the Cowboys that I want to talk about from this game before we get to our Christmas wish lists. Two guys that I think really deserve a lot of attention and praise after this game. One of whom we've already mentioned is Jordan Lewis. I mean, he's had a great season all around. This was maybe his best game of the year. He's having just a heck of a season. Last year, he came on really strong at the end of the year. This is a guy that, I mean, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, he suffered an injury, ended his season against Detroit. And then later on, you know, going to the next season, we find out from Mike McCarthy there was initial concerns it could have been a career-ending injury. He comes back from that. He plays, you know, he probably played a little bit earlier than he should have last year. He was a little rocky at the start of the season. But he gets back to form, comes on strong. This year he comes back. New defense, new scheme. You know, Trayvon Diggs is in and out of the lineup. Deron Bland is in and out of the lineup. Season has been going well. He's still showing up. He's still grinding through. He's a leader in that locker room. And there was a play before the interception where I think he came up and met the running back like right at the line of scrimmage and just like knocked him down. I think it was Bucky Irving. And it was just such a great run defense rep from a smaller guy who isn't really – nobody really talks about Jordan Lewis as a run stuffer. But he showed up and he did that. And I tweeted it at that point, and then I tweeted it again when he made the interception. Jordan Lewis is an all-decade Cowboy. I mean, he's not a guy that, like, he's not going to go down in the record books for the Cowboys. He's not going to be, you know, one of the top 10 corners of all time in franchise history. But this is a guy that deserves that recognition of being, like, an all-decade Cowboy. He has been through a lot of scheme changes, a lot of coaching changes, a lot of so-so seasons, and he just shows up and he keeps coming back. He's loyal to the team. He's loyal to the Cowboys. He's just such a great, great impact for this team. And I hope that he's back next year. I hope that he continues to be part of this team, because he's got that dog in him. And this was a game where you saw not just on defense, but offense, defense, special teams, and coaching, all of them, everybody had that Jordan Lewis mindset. So shout out to Jordan Lewis. Thank you for being you.
Yeah, no, 100%. And he hit the nail on the head. I was just going to say it before you said it. Jordan Lewis, he's a free agent at the end of the season. So, you know, I think we need to get him back back in Big D for another go round. Maybe we can lock him up. I mean, he's 30. I think he's 30 now. Get him locked in for another, you know, maybe I'd do like a 2-year deal with him at this point. Just, you know, give him a little security, you know, pay it forward to him, because when he's on the field, he literally is a dog. Like, he's so good. He's one of the best nickel corners in the league. And, you know, good nickel corners don't grow on trees, and he's one of the best ones in the league. So I think if the price is fair, I think Jordan comes back, because I think he loves being in Dallas. I think he loves playing for Coach McCarthy and Zimmer. I think, I'll be honest with you, I think this defense took another step forward, you know, again this past week. And you know what, and I said it last week, I had to eat a little crow, you know, and all that stuff. But if I was, say, 60% sure Mike McCarthy was back, you know, before this game, I think he's about 85-90% back at this point. I you know, you never know with Jerry Jones. That's why you got to leave that 10-15%. You just never know with him. But I feel like Mike McCarthy and Mike Zimmer will be back in 2025, like, with a full cupboard. The cupboard won't be bare next year, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I think another 12 plus win season would be I think it's very easy to get. I don't want to say too easy, because the NFL is not easy, but with the talent that they have, relatively speaking, that have been out this year, we get the full crew back. We get a couple, you know, draft picks that come in. You know, some of those draft picks from last year make another step forward. I 12 and, you know, another 12 win season, you know, for the Cowboys doesn't seem too far fetched for me in 2025.
Yeah, I think that's the path forward for these Cowboys. I mean, obviously, I've been saying this all year, so it's
not groundbreaking
for me to say that bringing these guys back is going to be the best path to success. But I mean, I think, obviously, the defense has been just on a run ever since Micah Parsons got back from his injury. Offense is looking good too. I mean, and that leads me to the other guy I want to recognize is CeeDee Lamb, because I think, like, the growth that we've seen from this guy this year. I mean, we all knew coming into this year, like, physically, like, what he's capable of doing. His talent is undeniable. But we've seen a couple of times in previous seasons, and it popped up a little bit early on this season, where, you know, a little inconsistent in terms of his actual production on the field. There's times where, you know, it looks like mentally he's just not completely checked in. There's times where there's miscommunication between him and Dak. You know, and then there was the question about, like, oh, is this just an effect of, like, he didn't have a training camp to work with Dak, or is it really just he's, like, checking out? There were, you know, there's been times where people have questioned his toughness. I've been one of those people. I'll own up to it. And I think, like, there were times where there were things that you saw on the field that led to you questioning his toughness. Those questions cannot be asked at this point. I mean, this guy he's been playing on a bum shoulder for a few weeks now. He stays out there, and he very easily could have, after the Commanders won that game on Sunday, he could have very easily gone to Mike McCarthy and said, hey, look, like, my shoulder's messed up. I need surgery on this. Our season's done. We got nothing to play for. I'm gonna sit out. I'm gonna get the surgery. We're gonna, you know, get on the rehab schedule earlier. And he didn't. And he showed up and he showed out and he's making these plays. I mean, he had that one where it was like a catch and a run and it was ruled a touchdown. They came back and said he was down, you know, short by 1 yard.
Yeah.
But I mean, he looked like Dez Bryant on that play. Like, he's pounding into guys, he's muscling through guys. I mean, the toughness that he plays with, it's been such a really, I think, a really impressive, like, growth for him this season, of, like, going from just a super talented guy who relies on his talent to now he's got a little bit of that dog in him too. Like, he's getting some of that from Jordan Lewis. He's getting some of that from Jake Ferguson, from some of these other guys on offense, from Brock Hoffman, who's got plenty of dog to go around.
Yes, he does.
and I think, you know, you can say a little bit of the same thing from Micah Parsons this year too. And I think he's really stepped into more of a leadership role with Dak being out. I think when we think about like the story of this year's Cowboys, the growth and maturation and stepping into more of a leadership role and leading by example for both CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons this year, that's more valuable in the long run than any draft pick that they could get from this season. And I think more than anything, that's what we as fans should be excited about, is these two guys, not to say that they were immature before, but they've grown up. Like they're seasoned vets now, and they're leading their team. I mean, they just beat a Buccaneers team that won four straight coming into this game. And you don't do that without a great performance from CeeDee Lamb in this game, and you don't do that without a great performance from Micah Parsons in this game. So shout out to CeeDee. I'm not gonna be talking about your toughness anymore. You've made me incredibly proud of what we've seen the last few weeks, and very, very excited for Lamb going forward.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, obviously, once the season is done, which is obviously in the next couple weeks here, the Cowboys season will be over because they're not making the playoffs, obviously. I mean, it is what it is at this point. CeeDee's going to get whatever he needs to get done, get that shoulder back in good working condition, you know, for next year. Dak's going to be ready to rock and roll by April. Like, we're going to be rocking and rolling on that. So by draft time, Dak's going to be back, back in the saddle, so to speak, and you know, maybe pounding some more Red Bulls or water. I'm not sure. He was drinking definitely a few different things. And they show him in the booth every time, and it's like 1 week he had like 7 bottles of water. This week he had like 4 Red Bulls and a water. I'm like, maybe the late nights are just hard for him right now. I'm not sure what's going on, but you know, I know Dak's working his tail off to get himself back. He wants, you know, obviously he wants to be on the field with his guys. But you know, speaking of, you know, the quarterback position, shout out to Cooper Rush. I mean, yeah, I'm not the biggest Cooper Rush guy. I never have been. You guys know everybody knows where I stand with the quarterback situation, but I got to give Cooper his due. I mean, he completed almost 75% of his passes last night, almost threw for 300 yards. I mean, just looking here, I mean, it was just a quality game. I mean,
and it was against like a legit defense too. I mean, Tampa Bay is they're good.
they are good. And I mean, he had one pass get away from him that luckily wasn't picked, but other than that, he played a pretty clean game. He made some smart plays that, you know, I would say, he just kind of threw it away. Like there was one where he got enough out of the box, the tackle box, and threw it to the other side of the field. And, you know, the referees even came out and said, you know, he's out of the box. That was fine. Mm-hmm. Like he was doing things like that, which are smart. He wasn't forcing the ball very much. He got the ball to number 88, which is never a bad thing. He got the ball to number 80 a few times. Ryan Flournoy got a couple Ryan Flournoy catches. And, you know, looking at the stats here, Ryan finished third in total receiving yards this past week. So shout out to my guy Flo. I'm very happy to see him. When he made that first catch for 27 yards, I about came out of my seat. So I was very excited about that.
That was the moment that you, like, got on board with Mike McCarthy coming back. He drew up a target for your guy, and you were like, all right, bring him back.
That's right. I'm back on board, baby. You know,
your extension.
I will say this: like Flo looked good. I mean, he looked good blocking. I mean, I'm very excited for his future. I honestly do believe that we're gonna see some shaking up on the offense. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a move. I don't know if it's gonna be. I know it'll be in the offseason, but I feel like draft, free agency. I feel like they're gonna make another move for a receiver. I feel like they need another weapon besides Lamb. Who that is?
Well, Brandon Cook's contract is up after this year, so
theoretically, let's be honest, he hasn't been around. He hasn't been around anyways, and I just, you know, he's been really out. You know, that's unfortunate for him because of, you know, his health situation. But like I said, you know, I think Jalen Tolbert's he could be a good 3 or 4. I don't think if you're going to be a Super Bowl contender that he can be a receiver too, and that's my opinion. That's not a knock on him. I think they need another legit guy. They need to be more like the Eagles, where, you know, the Eagles have Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. Like, they need to have two dogs, you know, on each side of the field. I think they got to go get somebody, whether it's free agency, draft, whatever the case may be. And then, obviously, the back end of that receiver room, you know, obviously you'll see Jalen Tolbert will be the receiver 3, I think, going forward. I think Ryan Flournoy is going to be, you know, I think he took a step forward this past week. So I think he'll be in the mix to make the back end of that receiving group. And then I think we just got to slide somebody in at the receiver two next year. And I think the receiving core will be good. I will say too, Jake Ferguson, you know, he's a dog as well. I mean, everybody put on their big boy pants this past week, and Jake Ferguson, you know, he did his job. You know, Scooney stepped up with Fergie being banged up. So I'm not the biggest Scooney guy on the planet, as we all know, but I'm one of those where I will give credit where credit, you know, has been earned. So shout out to Scooney. You know, I do think, he's made me a little bit more of a believer in him. I think he could be a solid tight end too. Jake's going to be the guy. I think we all know that, but you know, I've been pleased with his work. I mean, unfortunately, Rico didn't get out of the gates against this Buccaneers defense. I mean, Rico, it wasn't his best game, but the Buccaneers, you already mentioned it, they're a legit defense.
Yeah.
You got Vita Vea, you got Damon in there.
They came into this game with like an elite run defense too. I mean, yeah, when you have Vita Vea, like you're not going to get a whole lot else in the run game. And that's another thing that I loved. I think this was probably Mike McCarthy's best offensive game plan we've seen all year. Because the last three games, they've moved the ball by feeding Rico, and rightfully so. He's at three straight 100-plus yard games. But going into the Buccaneers, like, you know, you can't do that. If they tried to keep that same game plan, you're going to lose, because you just don't. Teams don't run against this defense. And so, like, that very first drive, you saw, like, he came out. Cooper Rush was throwing it. He was throwing it early. He was throwing it short. They knew exactly how to attack the secondary to get the ball out of Cooper Rush's hands quickly. But then, and I think Chris Collinsworth was talking about it on the game too, like, they still ran the ball because you got to keep that defense honest. So it was like, we know that when we run the ball, we're not going to get big gains, but we're going to do it knowing this is going to get maybe 1 or 2 yards. We do that to set up a play to get us to 3rd and 4 instead of 3rd and 6. And it was just, I think it was a very self-aware game plan, and it was executed perfectly. So, like, I don't fault Rico Dowdle for that game. I don't fault the offensive line for not opening up holes. And honestly, I don't even fault you, Brandon, for saying the Cowboys should be more like the Eagles, because that is sacrilege at the highest level.
I mean, I'll be honest. No, here's the thing, though.
This is a team whose fan base throws snowballs at Santa Claus. Oh. And on Christmas Eve, you're saying we got to be like that. No.
Well, here's the thing. The reason why I say that is, you know, and that pains me. It's like tasting vinegar. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, you think I want to say that, but I have to give, you know, I have to give credit where credit is due. Like, you know, they made a move, and they, you know, they have two great receivers. And I think the Cowboys are missing another receiver. I mean, they have Jake Ferguson. You know, they obviously have CeeDee Lamb. I mean, that's your 1-2 punch, but it's like, Brandon Cooks, he's had moments, but it hasn't really worked out as we thought it would, I don't think. And then, you know, Jalen Tolbert, I don't think he's I don't think he's the number two receiver. I think he's a good role player. I think he can play kind of like what Terrence Williams did, you know, many years back, you know, kind of that solid receiver three, you know, even like Cedric Wilson while he
Terrence
was here.
Williams was legit good, though. People forget how good he was. He
no, couldn't I, catch. Oh, trust me,
he I couldn't catch without his body, but he was very, very good.
Oh, I, you know what? I, you know, here's the thing. You know this. Some of our audience may not know this, but I'm also a Baylor fan as well. I give a lot of shout out to Syracuse, but I actually got to do daps with Terrence Williams when I was at the game where Baylor upset Kansas State, the number one team in the country. I was at that game about 12 years ago, so I was there. Got to storm the field, and I got to dap up Terrence Williams, and then he got drafted by the boys. So life was complete at that point. So I've always been a supporter of Terrence Williams. So for Jalen Tolbert, if I put you in that ilk, that means you're doing okay. So, you know, you're doing all right, my friend. It definitely is. Cause I'm not the, here's the thing. I said beginning of the year, like I didn't think Jalen Tolbert would make the team. That's how I felt. Like, you know that, like, I'm not going to go back on it. Like, I said what I said, but I'm one of those people where, you know what, if it works out for him, I'm happy for him. And I'm glad that he's doing well and proving me wrong and proving some of those doubters wrong. I do think a solid receiver three, that's not a bad thing at all. You can make a lot of money in the league playing receiver three. So, yeah, I mean, the overall performance from this team was great, you know, and that toe drag swag by Tolbert was nice. I will give Yeah, he's played well. He's
got talent.
Cooper, hey, here's the thing though. Cooper
and
Rush.
You want him out of the league.
I did.
And
I was a little, I was happy at it.
Not only did he make that great catch, but it was a great throw from Cooper Rush.
Which, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I knew you were getting there, but I was going to steal your thunder because so the theme for this show, we're making, you know, our Cowboys Christmas wish list one day before Christmas. Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't know necessarily what I thought you're going to come up with.
You should but, know me. You know,
I was like, maybe he'll say receiver, but he won't do that because, you know, Ryan Flournoy is his guy. But maybe I was too optimistic, but share with us what's on your Cowboys Christmas wish list.
Well, I mean, you just mentioned the quarterback position and Cooper Rush. I think at this point, I mean, you know what you have in Cooper Rush. He's a quality backup. I'd like to see Trey Lance. That's my Christmas wish. You know, Santa, get me some Trey Lance run. I need a run from him. I need not little runs, but I need him to get on the field, play some real meaningful snaps for him. I mean, it's not meaningful snaps for the Cowboys because the season's done, but it'll be good for Trey Lance going forward. You know, I don't want any of this, like, he comes in and they all know, okay, he's going to run the ball situation that he did a few weeks ago. Like, I want him to actually get a legitimate start. And it's probably not going to happen because Cooper Rush has been playing some damn good football. So, you know, this is a, you know, it is my wish. And, you know, and Santa, I've been sort of good this year, I think. But, you know, my wife might beg to differ. But, yeah, I mean, that's what I want. I want Trey Lance. I want to see what we got. Like, I just, we gave up fourth round picks. We give them out like it's candy, you know, with Jonathan Mingo. Like, what's he done? Nothing. Like, it's like, I want to see what we have with Trey Lance, you know, because we got to get some real tape on him to make a determination on what we're going to try to do with or without him next year, because they're not picking up that big option. Like, that's not happening. But if he showed something in the last quarter pull the last like furlong of the NFL season, like maybe he comes back next year in the backup role, which again, you can make a lot of money doing it, but I'm not optimistic that it's going to happen. That's just my wish. What's probably going to happen is Cooper Rush will be the backup next year and he'll be one of the best backups in the league. And then Trey Lance will probably be, I don't know, playing in Minnesota because that's, you know, that just makes too much sense.
Well, I mean, I disagree. I don't think that's a surprise. You're not entirely off base though. I mean, the Cowboys have insisted from the moment Dak Prescott went down, like, we're still playing as long as there's a chance for us to be in the playoffs, we're still playing to win, right? Well, that's gone. That's out the window. And I understand why they didn't, you know, then turn around and start Trey Lance against Tampa Bay, because, I mean, he hasn't practiced all week. You haven't, like, you've built a game plan for Cooper Rush.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to do that in a few hours.
I agree with that.
So I definitely see the argument. But I think after a win like this, so much of the conversation now is about, like, the vibes in the locker room, right? All these players are saying, like, I don't really care if we're making the playoffs. Like, this is football. Like, we play for the love of the game. Like, we play to win. And it's like, it's a big moment. I mean, they've won four of their last five. And I mean, they're using Uber drivers playing out there on offense right now. I mean, the offensive line has gone through so many different iterations with all these different guys. Cooper Rush, you know, is Cooper Rush. You know, Brandon Cooks has come back, and I think Brandon Cooks has been good since he came back from his injury. But also, I mean, there's still some rust being shaken off. There's issues with some of the talent behind him at receiver, and they're playing well, and they're winning games. And if it wasn't for that unlucky bounce against Cincinnati, they'd have five straight wins. They'd be at 500. They probably are not eliminated from the playoffs at that point. I don't know exactly how the math works out there, but I mean, I just think to have gone on this run and to have, like, all of this, all these emotions and all this, like, positivity, to then say, all right, Cooper, you're sitting the rest of the year. We're going with this guy that we were very clearly saying before, like, he doesn't give us the best chance to win. I think that undermines a lot of what you've just gained.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree 100%. Like, everything you said is 100% spot on, especially given the way they played this past weekend, especially. And you know, just the comments from the players that, yeah, we're not playing for a playoff, seed. They're playing for pride. They're playing for, you know, respect to the game and the love for the game. So, when you said wish, that's a wish. You know, Trey Lance would be I'm wishful thinking on that, and realistically, he's probably, unless the chips kind of, turn a different way, I guess, he may not ever play another snap with the Cowboys. You know, that's certainly a possibility, especially given how close these games have been as of late and how well Cooper Rush has played. And like you mentioned, they're one crazy bounce away from being five straight, probably still in the playoffs with a small chance. And you know, you never know at this point. But I will say, and you know what? I own eating a lot of crow. I own it. So, I mean, Cooper Rush is probably going to be the backup next year, and that's fine by me, because like Chris Collinsworth said, you know, if you get a guy that, you know, you say you got a 6-game stretch where your quarterback's out, get me 3-3, and hold the fort down until the main guy gets back, do it. And yeah, he's playing way above 500.
Yeah.
So good on him.
Yeah, completely agree. My Christmas wish this year is kind of similar thought process, but it makes more sense.
Yeah, all good.
Because I want more Tyler Guyton reps. Yeah, I want to see this rookie left tackle that you drafted in the first round. And for those who haven't like been paying super close attention on the offensive line, Chuma Edoga has started the last couple of games since he came back from the injured reserve. He didn't play at all prior to this, when he recently came back. And he's been the starting left tackle, but they've also rotated him with Tyler Guyton. Yeah. Before Edoga came back, they were rotating Guyton with Austin Richards. And it was like, it was weird timing, because like Richards had his injury and he was out for the year. They put him on IR right when they activated Edoga. So then it was just like, instead of rotating with Austin Richards, now you're rotating with Chuma Edoga. And I just don't get it. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I get that, Edoga is, at least on paper, he's the better option. He's more experienced. He's seen more football. He knows more than Guyton does. He's also played on the left side a lot longer than Guyton has. But also, I mean, you took Tyler Guyton because you believed in his potential. He has a lot of the same traits that Tyler Smith had coming out of college, where he's big, he's athletic, he's got that bully mentality, and you knew that him going from right tackle to left tackle, there's going to be a learning curve. But like, now the learning curve, he's got a longer learning curve because he's not playing. And when he is playing, it's like, he gets a good drive in now, he builds some confidence, and then he sits. Like, it doesn't help with his development. And it just makes no sense to me that they're doing this with him, because one way or another, like, if you don't believe in him at left tackle, then don't be playing him. Like, it's that simple. But if you think there's still a shot there, get him out on the field, get him reps, see what you've got. And if he starts struggling, if he starts going like full Chaz Green, then you can pull him. But he hasn't had any of those moments yet. And
not yet, no.
But also, like, we're going into we're going to be going into this offseason, and Zach Martin's probably retiring. There's legitimate questions about Terrence Steele. What, should he still be the right tackle? What, his contract doesn't really make it easy to get out after this year.
No.
But there's questions of the right tackle, and you're going to now have the question of, like, is Tyler Guyton our left tackle? Should we move Tyler Guyton to right tackle, which is his natural position? I think they should do that and slide Terrence Steele into right guard, which they floated a couple years ago. But, I mean, you haven't seen anything from Guyton to evaluate him. Like, you need more reps of this guy. This is your first-round pick, and, I mean, you want to know what you've gotten a guy. So, and Cooper Beebe, on a similar note, I mean, he's been phenomenal. He's been I think he's been their best rookie this year. He's just been so great. But he's also played. I mean, he missed last week with a concussion, but other than that, he's played. And you've seen some growing pains, but he's gotten better and he's learned. I don't get why they're not doing that with Tyler Guyton.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you on that. Tyler Guyton, not putting him in there at this point, I feel like it's a disservice, not only for Tyler Guyton, but for the Cowboys, because next year, I feel like the Cowboys are going to be miles ahead of where they are, you know, in 2024. And if Tyler Guyton can get some extra reps right now when the Cowboys are, let's say, they're not making the playoffs here, like, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to build on for next year. Build his confidence, get him some meaningful reps, you know, do the whole thing. And they're not doing that. And I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I've never been a Chuma Adoga guy. Like, you know, whenever he's been to Dallas, you know, not to diss on a player or anything like that. I never understood why we made the move. You know, I have friends that cover the New York Jets, you know, a really good friend of mine. And we, you know, we've had conversations about it when the Cowboys made the move, and I trust his opinion on things. And he's like, dude, if the Jets are getting rid of somebody, what does that tell you? I'm like, that's a valid point. So, I mean, we went, you know, and again, we're not doing it to bash a player. It's just, you know, we're just analyzing, you know, what we think or what we see on tape. And I mean, I'll give Chuma's done okay. Like, I mean, it's not like he's been great, but he hasn't been bad. He's not Chaz Green, but you know, I mean, Chaz Green was really bad, but
it's a very low bar.
Very low. But
no, I feel confident I could go out there and do as well, if not better, than Chaz Green in that Atlanta game.
Yeah, that was, yeah, I mean, I think he got Abraham a lot of money then. I think Abraham got his bonus off of that game alone, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, hopefully he gave Chaz Green a little bonus or a little kickback on that. Like, he got so many sacks in that game, it was ridiculous. But, I mean, your point also with Terrence Steele, I've been on record for saying this too. Like, I would like to see him at right guard. Like, I'd like to see him on the inside because he is a really good run blocker. And I think him not having a blind, like essentially an empty, I call it like an empty open shoulder, so to speak, you know, I think would be good for him. I think he needs to have that security blanket of having a center and having a tackle next to him. And then he could be right. He could box essentially in his little area. Yeah. And I think he could do a really good job at that. And then here's the other thing too. Like me personally, I mean, it's tough to say this because Tyler Smith's been such a great guard, but for me, I would move Tyler Smith over to left tackle. I would move Tyler Guyton to right tackle. I think, and then move Terrence Steele inside. BB's been great. I think BB's a stud. I think that was great value in the draft this past year, getting him where we did. So we're locked in at center. I think we're going to be good there for a while. And then we just got to worry about left guard, which I feel like we have some pieces in place that could do it.
Yeah, or have a competition between TJ Bass and Brock Hoffman, best man win.
If
one of those two guys is your like quote unquote weak link on your offensive line, playing between Tyler Smith and Cooper Beebe, like you can live with that for sure. Those guys both have the strength. They've got the dog mentality. Like you can do some damage with those guys.
Well, and here's the other thing too. Like, and I'm not saying they're going to do this. I mean, I haven't seen or read anything about it. But if the right guy falls to them in the draft, mm-hmm. the value might be too good where they don't take an offensive lineman somewhere. You know, you never know. Like, if a guy falls to, say, where the Cowboys are at now, which is 15, and maybe most teams had a lot of teams had a top 10 grade on a player and they fell, you never know. You might just take the best player on the board and be like, okay, we don't necessarily need the position, but this player is too good to pass up. I don't know who that would be at this point because I haven't gotten into draft season yet. But, you know, it's anything like that's possible. And then from there, if you get a guy in the, you know, day one or day two, there's going to be some guys out there that could fill that. And then you have TJ Bass and Brock Hoffman as reserves as well. So you're seven deep, at the offensive line after that. That's a good problem to have. You know, we'll see what happens with this whole offensive line shakeup. I think we're in agreement where we need to move and Terrence Steele to guard. Whether the Cowboys do it is a whole different thing.
Yeah, as is often the case. But those are our wishes. We'll see if they come true. Probably not for either of them. It doesn't seem like things are trending that way. But you never know. It could be a Christmas miracle. We could both get what we want. As of right now, we're waiting until next week. Cowboys get to go up to Philly and take on the Eagles. And the Eagles are kind of in a weird spot right now because they've got Jalen Hurts missed most of this last game with a concussion. He's in the concussion protocol.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett finished out the game. And honestly, I don't think Kenny Pickett did that bad in the game. It's just, you know, when you have a quarterback change in the middle of the game, you know, things – it throws everything off. And so much of that offense is built around Jalen Hurts and the unique skill set he has. Kenny Pickett is very much not the type of player Jalen Hurts is. So I think it's going to be interesting to see this week because it could be Kenny Pickett making his first start with the Eagles. It could be Jalen Hurts if he gets out of concussion protocol in time. Either way, the Cowboys are going into this game and they're – I mean, we just saw they – clearly don't care about draft positioning. They're just playing a win. And this is, you know, you've got the rivalry aspect of it. They got beat by the Eagles last time they played. And by the way, that was a game where, you know, halfway through the third quarter, it was pretty close. I mean, they were right in it. And then the Eagles kind of pulled away. Cowboys have a little bit more wind in their sails, a little bit more confidence in what they can do. And they're looking at an Eagles team that just lost their first game in however many weeks it's been, kind of licking their wounds a little bit. And they can play spoiler, and I'm excited for it. I never like losing to Philly, so the chance that they could come in here and like just ruin the Eagles' day with nothing else on the line for them besides beating the Eagles, that has me excited just for the possibility of it all.
Oh, 100%. Like I for me, I'm the same way. It's like if we can do anything to ruin anything Philly. I mean, I'm jumping for joy. That's another, I guess that's, you can add that to a Christmas wish, you know, just play spoiler, you know, for you know, and that's the thing too. We don't know what's going to happen with Hurts, you know, magically he might be back because, you know, concussion protocols and quarterbacks, you never know how that goes. I won't speculate. I'm just going to leave it at that. But Kenny Pickett, I never saw the first round, you know, talent that, you know, the Steelers thought he was for a hot second. I think he's a quality backup. I think he, you know, I think if they do have to turn to him, you know, in this upcoming matchup, I think the Eagles are still a better team at this point. I think that's kind of obvious regardless. And here's the thing though. The Cowboys have this dog in them right now. Like they have this dog where they want to play spoiler. It's a rivalry game. And I mean, here's the thing. They played so hard against the Bucs. The Bucs aren't even a rival. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they're just an NFC team. You know what I mean? This is the Philadelphia freaking Eagles. So, you know, if you got that dog, this dog is gonna, those ears are gonna perk up even more, going into this matchup. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be another nasty game. You know, they're gonna be playing at the friendly, not really friendly confines of the link in Philly. I feel bad for the Cowboys there. They have to go play in that cesspool, so to speak. that filth. Philadelphia, so to speak, but nevertheless, I do think it's going to be another really good game because they always tend to play each other very well. You know, Cooper Rush has been playing his best ball of his career. I mean, before I felt like he was more of a game manager. Now it's like, they're giving him the ball, I'm just letting him throw a ball over the place, all over the yard, and
yeah.
I think he can do it. I think I wouldn't be surprised. Actually, you know what? I'm not even gonna say it like that. I'm just gonna say this: the Cowboys are going to beat the Eagles this coming week. Simple as that.
I love it. I love it. Let's manifest it.
Yes.
I think. I mean, obviously, there's the rivalry aspect. There's the playing spoiler aspect. There's also a coaching rivalry. Two coaching rivalries at play here.
Yes.
You've got Mike McCarthy up against Kellen Moore, and I mean, obviously, there's. We don't know exactly what happened. That led to that departure, but it kind of feels like it wasn't an amicable breakup. And they've faced off against each other a couple of times now since Kellen Moore left. They've both been able to get one over the other, but that's coming into play here. Then there's also Mike McCarthy calling plays against Vic Fangio. They have a storied rivalry going back to when Vic Fangio is the head coach of the Broncos, beat the Cowboys in 2021. And he was just like, oh, I made a blueprint for the team. And a few weeks later, he got fired because turned out not to be a good head coach. And then he went to be the Dolphins defensive coordinator. They faced Miami on Christmas Eve last year. And that was a more even match. The Cowboys got some plays against the Fangio defense. Fangio defense got a couple of takeaways. Dolphins ended up winning the game. And Fangio got fired in Miami because the players didn't like him. And you hear the players talk about him now. And it's just like, man, this guy must be just a dirtbag the way they talk about him. But he's doing well in Philly.
I mean, let's be honest. You put the word dirtbag in there in Philly. So, yeah. I mean, it works.
Connect the dots how you will. I'm not saying anything, but
I will.
They're having a good year defensively in Philly. Yeah. So it'll be really interesting to see this offense playing with a little bit of spunk. Mike McCarthy coming in wanting to, you know, get one over on Vic. I'm really excited for it. I don't know yet how I'm gonna predict this one. Just there's so much up in the air right now, especially with Jalen Hurts. I do think it's gonna be close either way, though. I mean, I think this one's coming down to the fourth quarter. I'm kind of leaning towards picking the Cowboys just because they've been playing like that recently, and the Eagles have had a lot of really close wins lately. And then, you know, they finally blew it against the Commanders. But we'll see. We'll just chalk it up to our joint Cowboys Christmas wish being Cowboys get to play spoiler. They get the win in Philly. They spoil the Eagles season and then go in the next week to take on the Commanders with a chance to spoil their season as well. But, until we know how all those things play out and all the different, you know, mathematics and the playoff scenarios and all those different things, you know, we're going to wish a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holiday to everybody, to all of our loyal listeners. Hope that you're having a great time, however you celebrate, if you do celebrate, whatever you do. And we'll be back next week, of course, talking Cowboys, seeing if we got our Cowboys Christmas wish. And either way, thanking Santa Claus because he does a lot. He works hard, not as hard as Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. But
no, of course not. No.
But we'll be here talking Cowboys as always. So enjoy your time. Happy holidays to everybody. And until next time, how about them Cowboys?